trying to act holy, and I be watching mankind break them down slowly but surely. Only the strong survive, while the rest fall by the wayside, praying they stay alive.
All right, so folks have been calling around Stanley Tukey Williams. If you want the governor's number, it's 916-445-2841. And again, the protest visuals will be at 6 p.m. at the Federal Building. That's 1100 Wilshire. Or you can go to Schwarzenegger's home at Chalon Road off Menonville Canyon Road. For more information on the protest, call 310-463-7025. And again, we'll have more on this towards the end of our show. So today in Hong Kong, the World Trade Organization opened its 6 ministerial meetings to conclude the Doha rounds of the trade negotiations. Thousands of people from around the world are in Hong Kong to protest the U.S.-led WTO policies of free trade. We have Kimmy Lee, Executive Director of the Garment Workers Center here in Los Angeles, and Sari Sam and Tony Liu, members of CAV, Organizing Asian Communities, a grassroots membership organization of poor and working class Asian migrants organizing in New York City. They're both joining us live from Hong Kong. Welcome to the show. We're pleased to have you guys.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Sari, Tony, are you there too?
Yes, we're here.
Okay. Well, thanks for getting up real early in the morning. This is Tuesday morning in Hong Kong. So I guess we should start off both. Why don't you start, Kimmy, around why the Garment Workers Center is part of this four-city delegation to Hong Kong?
Well, for us, we felt it was really important, since we are working with garment workers in Los Angeles, to make the connection between what's happening with globalization and the loss of jobs in the U.S., but also the fact that because globalization has forced workers away from their homes and has forced certain situations, it's important for us to make linkages between workers internationally. And it's not just about protecting U.S. jobs, or it's not just about us, that in the world, garment workers are suffering under globalization. And so in particular, Chinese workers, now that China is having such a huge garment industry because of recent changes in trade laws, that we wanted to make sure our connections to Chinese workers and what's happening in China was, getting stronger. And so by us being here in Hong Kong and being able to make connections to other workers, and in particular Chinese workers, it was important for us.
And so, Sari, I know that you're a youth leader in the Youth Justice Project in Bronx, New York, and you guys also have a six-person delegation to the actions.
Oh, yes, but actually there's only a 5-person delegation.
Okay. So, Sari, tell us about why you went to this trip to Hong Kong and what you hope to get accomplished there.
I went representing the Youth Leadership Project of CAF, and that's one program area. And, just going for myself, I feel like there's many objectives that I, as just one individual, needs to help, put out, because CAF feels, displacement is a big issue, and even for the Youth Leadership Project, we have background history that goes back to displacement. We work with people who've been displaced from many countries, that was affected by the United States policy. For example, in the Youth Leadership Project, there's a large population of Southeast Asian families, and they were refugees from Cambodia and Vietnam because of the Vietnam War. And then, the Chinatown Justice Project, we work with low-income Chinese tenants who migrated from the United States for economic opportunities, looking for jobs, anything to, pay for their nuclear families. In the Women's Worker Project, we have domestic workers who come from the Philippines and even Hong Kong to find work. And, all these migrants, and especially for myself as a refugee, we came, to find a better life, even if it's low-paid jobs in New York City. And all these displacements, it's more than just a physical dislocation. I say that I kind of lost, a different life that I could have had, communities and a culture that I left behind because of all this dislocation. And I see, WTO as this mass killer of economics and how we live. Just taking it back to even New York City now, you see that New York City and Hong Kong as global cities, which houses all these transnational corporations, and they really, you know, since they require the labor of all these people to function, this placement has to, you know, be abolished. It has to be stopped as soon as we can.
Yeah.
And I, yeah.
You know, I was reading, I know Cav has a blog up, and we were reading, in terms of yesterday, Sunday, you guys were talking about being in Victoria Park, and where a lot of the Indonesian and Filipino domestic workers were in the park, and how that mirrored a lot of what you guys were doing in Central Park, for instance, organizing around domestic workers.
Yes, yes. When we got there on Sunday, there was a large population of Filipino centers of domestic workers in Hong Kong. We saw people my age all the way to, like, you know, like our grandmothers, and they were just all gathering in the park, sitting, sharing food, listening, dancing, and, like, on a day that, you know, that they only have time off. And just good thing that we had, like, the opening march and rally there, because they participated really well. And I saw so much that I can't believe that, you know, this is actually a group of people who is so against WTO because of, you know, what they have and also what they want to have for themselves more, if it's possible.
Tony, why don't you talk to us a little bit about what, I know there's been at least one protest that's already happened since many of you arrived there. Can you talk to us how that looked like? What was the biggest contingency in terms of people from different countries? How big is even the U.S. delegation beyond the four-city delegation that you guys have?
Well, you know, from what we've seen in the opening march, definitely it seems like folks from the Philippines and Indonesia have rolled in pretty strong. They have really, really large and very militant delegations that have been really inspiring to see. You know, and there are large groups here from Thailand and, you know, and I think one group that has been on the news worldwide and certainly here in the media in Hong Kong is the Korean workers and peasants who, for the opening march, were actually not all here yet, but were still, the groups that were already here from Korea were, you know, represented. And for us, I think our contingent seems to be the only one from the U.S. as far as being an organized contingent. I think there are random folks from different organizations in the U.S. that are part of international networks here as well. From what I've seen, I haven't seen any other U.S. Delegations here.
So can we say it's safe to say that in relationship to other WTO protests where there's been essentially a really big contingency of primarily sort of young white youth, sort of out of the anarchist trend or in the anti-globalization movement, are they not there at this protest?
I certainly haven't seen any evidence of that. Granted, there are three marches and rallies scheduled, so you know that was the first one, and today there's actually another march happening later today, this afternoon, and we're, you know, I think that people have been rolling in on their own schedule, so. It's not to say that it won't happen, but I think that one thing that I think was important for us as organizations that work in Asian and Latino communities and just, you know, low-income immigrant communities, that for us it was certainly empowering to see that, you know, for once we were part of a march where we were, we're not overshadowed by the presence of white protesters, but that this was a very strong people of color march of, you know, people of color from all over the world.
So, Kimmy, I know you guys have been in conversations with the Hong Kong People's Alliance. What is being planned in terms of the scope of, one, the demands that are being placed on these protests, and then, two, how they plan to unfold this as the ministerial proceeds in the next several days?
Well, today, like Tony was saying, it's the opening march, and so, you know, it's clear that people are united, and we're just trying to show that there's, you know, this week of action is starting, and so there's two other actions this week, and throughout the week there are activities and workshops, and just for people to get a sense of, you know, everyone who's here, to learn about each other, to build the alliances amongst all the people. I think that's been a really big focus. In terms of the WTO itself, you know, we're going to have to wait and see what unfolds, but definitely the idea is to have a presence, and the ending part of whenever we do our marches is a place that the actual convention center can see. They actually did close off 2/3 of the downtown area around the convention center that we're not allowed to even go into. So there is a space, though, that they've made sure that we are visible enough so that the WTO meetings can see us and are able to see that there is a large number of people here and who have opinions about what's going on.
And then also, you know, we've been talking about this four delegation. It's specifically the Chinese Progressive Association in San Francisco, the Garment Workers Center in Los Angeles, CAV Organizing Asian Communities in New York City, and then an organizing project out of Philly. You know, I've been trying to figure out, is this another round of another move towards a reconstitution of an Asian progressive movement, in Asian left movement inside the United States? And I know, Kimmy, you were part of the Asian Left Forum that has started several years ago. What do you think about this, this attempt to go to Hong Kong together in order to build both political conversations around what is globalization, how does it affect, or the role of U.S. imperialism, as well as in building operational unities as you guys try to run the streets together?
Yeah, well, you know, it's not, at this point, our organizations have worked together because of our organizing work and because we do work with low-wage workers, Latino and Asian. And so we're not saying, you know, this is just an Asian progressive movement, but that there's definitely already been some alliances made between our organizations. And hopefully then when we get back to the States, we'll be able to work more together now that we've gone through this experience together. But who knows what might happen. You know, we don't want to say that there's some formal API.
Sure.
Right now, but I mean, definitely we have connections to each other because of our work with low-wage communities and immigrant communities. And so, you know, it is important that we all work together, and the fact that we work with Asian workers is like another kind of connection we have.
You know, I was thinking, we were talking earlier about the question around, you know, if we remember back in 1999 during the protest of Seattle, which was a massive protest here in the United States, it's one of the first protests against WTO, even though throughout the third world and throughout most of the world, there was huge protests also. And I remember a pretty, you know, huge article that was written by Betita Martinez talking about where is the color at the WTO. And I think this is also exciting on one hand that the four organizations were able to at least figure out, hey, how do we even go out there and give our presence and learn from sort of our international allies? How are you guys assessing sort of even getting there? How has that been?
I guess for us in CAV, I think, and I think we talked about this as a larger delegation, one thing that we've sort of tried to hold very close and make sure that we were conscious of both in trying to get here and also in our practice here is that we all wanted to be very aware of the fact that we do have first world privilege despite the fact that we work in low-income communities in the United States just by virtue of the fact of coming from the United States. I think that, you know, that's something that we've certainly tried to be aware of because, you know, we're out here with delegations from third world countries where they basically, you know, proportionally a proportion of their mass base in their own countries has sent a very, very small percentage. Whereas, you know, we were able to send, I think, proportionally a much larger group here, not even having necessarily done the same kind of international anti-globalization work that those groups have. But, you know, we're also just very, like for us in CAV, we've been very grateful of the support of the communities we work in, the folks in CAV who've worked really hard to, you know, back home who weren't able to come, who've worked really hard to make sure that we could come here and represent and learn and hopefully take things back and share with them.
Yeah. So I know you guys got to run to go off to the next action. Kimmy, can you give folks information for the report back that the LA delegation is going to prepare?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately we haven't set a specific date, but once we get back, because some people are staying until January, we'll start to plan to have a report back and have, you know, photos and images and all kinds of stuff. So hopefully by the end of January, maybe early February. But what people can do is just check the Garment Worker Center website, and we'll post it and make sure, you know, we'll make announcements, and maybe we can call you guys back and be on the show. But it's just www.garmentworkercenter.org, and so people can go there to find information.
Thanks so much, Kimmy. And Tony, can you give folks the blog site that CAV set up?
Sure. It's www.garmentworkercenter.blogspot.com, and we'll also post information about a joint report back we'll be doing with a Korean American organization that is here with the Korean farmers.
Okay, thanks so much, Kimmy, Siri, and Tony.
Thanks.
Thank you.